to begin with, Mr. Dube, let me acknowledge the statistics from the Africa Development Bank and the World Bank and the IMF and all the international institutions that look at economic indices. Zimbabwe, at one point, did not qualify to even be considered because there was a belief that the economic system had collapsed and was not going to survive. But the Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe and the Ministry of Finance in Zimbabwe acknowledges that the remittances that were coming from the diaspora is what held the country together. Be it a few dollars that were being sent to a relative that is unwell, school fees, or projects that were being run by people in the diaspora.
Mr. Chitambara, do you believe that argument that the diaspora remittance is actually the mainstay of the economy?
Yeah, I believe that they really helped to support and underpin the Zimbabwean economy. I think they provided a way of mitigating the high poverty levels prevailing in the economy by acting as a social protection mechanism. A number of families are actually relying on remittances from friends and relatives that have gone into the diaspora. So they've played a positive developmental role on the economy and even on the social fabric of the country.
And Mr. Joe, we have seen a recent call by President Robert Mugabe for people living in the diaspora to send more money home. How can this be done?
I don't think the call should be about sending more money home. In the diaspora, I'm aware, especially from the United Kingdom point of view, there are current discussions with the Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe that are resuscitating the homelink products that are being offered to people in the diaspora so that they can be put into projects and programs that can sustain the economic empowerment of people in Zim, but also sustaining the economy of the country. So I think that is where the work is. That's where the effort is at the moment. Whether that will happen or not, I don't know. But there are a lot of people that can go to Zimbabwe, start projects, and then fund them from the diaspora. So I don't think, I'm aware that the country has got no access to lines of credit still. They are finding it very difficult to retain the liquidity that was there in the economy domestically. There is a debt that goes beyond $10 billion to international institutions. So it is very difficult for the government to sustain the economic development and to deliver on the things that the Zimbabweans want without the input of people like those that are in the diaspora at the moment. Unless there's change in the political attitude or perception that the international community has towards Zimbabwe, so that Zimbabwe can begin to be a recipient or sit at the table at least of the institutions that can give loans to run the government programs.
Now, Mr. Chitambara, I think you can chip in there, you know, in terms of the call made by the president.
First and foremost, I think it's also about incentives. I think what the government also needs to do is to create a framework that provides good incentives for the guys in the diaspora to actually remit even more money. And I believe there is even greater hope also to have a more developmental impact. I understand in countries like Mexico, even in Cuba, they are receiving significant amounts that are being plowed for things like even infrastructure development and other projects that have a greater developmental impact. It's also very important, I think, for government to engage proactively the diaspora. I think there is need for an inclusive approach, because I'm sure there are a lot of ideas that could even come out of that proactive engagement with the guys in the diaspora on how they think things could be better managed in terms of even investment.
And Mr. Joe, what do you think could be the incentives that can drive people in the diaspora to send more money home?
There are so many. I think the first point is that the government should start seeing the people in the diaspora as partners in rebuilding the Zimbabwe that everyone wants, rather than people who are hostile to the presence of any government of the day. The second thing is that to establish that line of communication, make sure that from a monetary point of view, there are tax rebates. There is no point in me as a Zimbabwean wanting to build or to send equipment for a mining in Gwanda to be charged tax at a rate that is actually higher than an American or a Russian that wants to send equipment to Zimbabwe. The second thing is that many people, they have got leg irons in terms of dual citizenship issues. I think the continued lack of clarity from government is not helpful. I think the government should just acknowledge that the new constitution allows dual citizenship and everyone has got a right. Because what that does is it allows other people who think that they cannot commit to programs and projects in Zimbabwe to do so without risking security of the property. You know, because once you have a property, you want to make sure that it remains yours. In this statement, I mean, the president can even make that statement on his way to the airport and say every Zimbabwean who was born in Zimbabwe can have dual citizenship. That's what the new constitution says. And I think beyond that, and also giving programs or priority to the people in the diaspora and the companies that they have when it comes to tenders. And I'll give you an example. If the country wants to do what you call realigning laws in Zimbabwe using the new constitution, that work can easily be done because there are so many people that are legally trained that are in the diaspora. They could be given the contract to actually do that work rather than somebody else with South African or American or Canadian being given. Well, because when they do it, when Zimbabweans are doing it, they're doing it because it's also their country. And there are so many programs like that that can be done.
Mr. Chitambara, what is your reaction to that?
I think quite a number of useful points have been raised. The issue of lack of clarity in terms of, for example, the issue of dual citizenship, I think that's an important issue that we've also raised, and I think it needs to be clarified so that at least there is an extra incentive for guys that want, Zimbabweans that are now based in the diaspora that may want to invest back home. At least it also gives them assurance in terms of security of their private property if they have dual citizenship. Obviously, also the issue of even tax incentives, I think there are a whole lot of issues that can be explored by government. And as I said earlier, we are not the first country to do this. I think we need to learn from countries that have successfully been able to leverage remittance from the diaspora for development. So I think we need to move from this idea of social protection and poverty mitigation to development projects that could be supported by remittances from the diaspora. But for us to do that, we can only do that by ensuring that we incentivize the diaspora and also treating them as partners in the process of development. I think they are a key stakeholder, they are a key constituent that government really needs to take very seriously and to consult. So I think the issue of social dialogue, but I believe the Africans are a key partner in the development of Zimbabwe.
So how best can this issue be handled so that Zimbabwe benefits mostly from these remittances?
When we are in the diaspora, we are always thinking about home. We are in this together. We will do everything that we can to continue being part and parcel of the Zimbabwe that we all love. A lot of us will be coming back home, but we want to assist, see us as partners, and I encourage the government to make the pronouncement that dual citizenship is allowed, as is the case in the new constitution of the Republic of Zimbabwe. And I also encourage appeal to the government of Zimbabwe to see the diaspora as partners in rebuilding a Zimbabwe that we all need. And to our relatives on the ground, I thank them for their courage and continued efforts to mitigate the suffering that is on the ground. We will do what we can. It's not easy, but we'll continue to be partners in this.
Mr. Chitambara?
I think, number one, we need the clarity, we need credibility. I think, the onus is on government to really reach out to the community in the diaspora. I think we need to consider them as a very, very serious partner in terms of development. And we need to even come up with a customized incentive that target them so that at least we can induce or incentivize them to want to send their hard-earned cash back to Zimbabwe for development. I think there are a lot of things that can be done. But at the end of the day, it should go with the incentives Well, before you send your money back home, say for development, you obviously have to consider the return on that investment. So we need to make sure that at least there are good returns for their investment. So at least it's really a question of for return on investment. If they can get a good return on investment for their dollar, then say elsewhere, then there's no incentive for them who want to send money back to Zimbabwe. But if they can get a good return in Zimbabwe, then there's a greater incentive for them to want to send their money in Zimbabwe for investment purposes. That's why I said also it's important for government to address issues of competitiveness so that it reduces the cost of doing business. Because unless and until we do that, then there will always be other better investment opportunities for the diaspora to invest in. At least if we can address those issues so that we can increase the return on investment, then there will be a greater incentive for the guys in the diaspora to want to invest back home.
Gentlemen,
at the end of the day, they're also rational investors. So they want to invest their money where they get a good return for their money.